Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Jones and Keefe.
It's Tatum on top. Tatum jab-stepping. A three for the tie. Good! White will spin and feed Porzingis for the lead.
A 35-footer.
And Boston wins in overtime by two.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
You ready for a Celtics record, Keefe?
Oh, of course I'm ready for a Celtics record. All year I've been ready for this record. I went into the season thinking, like, if I get this road record,
best road team in franchise history.
Road Warriors, Legion of Doom.
We've talked a lot about
Hawk and Animal.
We've talked a lot about how crummy they are at home. They're the best road team in franchise history. They're one win away from tying the record for most road wins in NBA history.
Which is great news because they could have they could be on the road for Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They could be on the road for Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So they're actually playing this perfectly.
Got them right where they want.
This is it. This is the spot.
What'd you think of last night? Last night I was itching to watch Celtic City.
Yep.
I was itching to watch the clubhouse. I watched a little of both, but overtime.
Same.
Cut into that to just a degree. But Jason Tatum, big three late in regulation. Knicks are morons for not fouling.
That was the...
But Tatum hits a big three.
Yeah.
Porzingis hits a big three in overtime. They beat what looked like a scrappy little Knicks team.
You
a team
like
they
the
had
Knicks.
Dominated.
I was trying to talk up the Knicks.
I was trying to talk myself into the Knicks.
No.
They beat them again.
Yeah.
They look playoff ready. They've been playoff ready now for, it feels like, a couple of months.
Celtics have played the Knicks four times this year. They've beaten the Knicks four times this year.
Yeah, but only three in regulation. They got if that was the NHL,
good
that's
point.
A pity point last night.
Good point. They did beat them at a pity point. This is the first time I think the Celtics didn't cut. Or what was the spread last night?
Ooh, good question.
Because they blew them out the other three games.
Had to have been more than two.
Yeah, probably. Although it was in New York. But they're the Road Warriors, so I don't know, it goes back and forth. No, I mean, the first initial thought just from the game itself was
2.5.
How do you not foul? Like, that was insane. Like, if you're the Knicks, you watch that final possession in regulation, and they just have all the time to dribble all the way down the court. Because you could see why you wouldn't do it if it's in the half court. You don't want to, you know, foul him while he's shooting a three, but you had so much time, and that was just wild to watch. And then a great individual play by Tatum sticks the three, and you're like, all right, they're definitely winning this thing in overtime
and
now.
I think it was like a big redemption shot by Tatum in that game. Tatum, I meant to dig in on these numbers. I feel like Towns destroyed him last night, specifically him. I'll get the exact matchup numbers. I meant to look these up before the show started. I feel like Towns, and we all think Towns is super soft.
Meow.
I feel like Towns destroyed him.
Cat is a good
on defense last night. It's perfect. Shaq was doing some of that at halftime last night. And so Tatum missed
But he did have a really good game.
Well, Tatum missed a free throw prior late when he was fouled on a three. He also fell asleep on Josh Hart cutting through the lane and hitting the layup to put the Knicks up by three. And so I felt like it was a big redemption shot from Tatum last night. I know the overall numbers look pretty good. He had a real hot start. I didn't think he was playing great down the stretch. And then he knocks that three, sends it to overtime. Big, big shot by Jason Tatum, I thought. The Knicks are just idiots for not fouling. How do you not foul in that situation?
Everybody's screaming for it.
They've literally made more threes than any team in the history of the sport. They need a three. I don't care who it is.
They'll miss this.
Foul them on a two. What are you doing? Tom Thibodeau with your hairline hanging on by just a thread.
Saving it.
By a whisper.
Save it.
Foul.
Keep it. How much product is in there? It's too much product.
The product to hair ratio is... out of control.
Tatum had already missed a free throw, right? So he missed the one. Yeah,
he did it the prior two possession prior or the one.
And then
before
he ended up missing one in overtime too. So like, yeah, even if he makes them both, you got just idiotic. You got to foul him there. So he drills the three, and there you go. You go into overtime and kind of just taking the souls from the Knicks. If this ends up being a playoff matchup, I don't think anybody in the world is going to pick the Knicks to win that series. Did you have any thoughts on Tatum playing 48 minutes?
I had some thoughts on the other guy who didn't play a ton of minutes.
Well, there's also that, but I'm saying Tatum
playing 48 of 53?
It's a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, the road record clearly is important to them.
I am not the
rest all your guys, especially when your guys are 26, 27 years old. Like, I think Tatum can play. He probably won't play tonight.
I didn't even know he played 48, to be honest, until you just brought that up. But I don't have any issue with it.
Yeah, because I think it gets to the point where he played the whole fourth quarter in overtime. So I don't think the plan going in was to play 48 minutes. But he ended up kind of going out there. But now you can kind of manage him a little bit. You know, I don't love when you just... sit guys out. I think they need to play. But as really right now, you're locked into the two seed. This final stretch is all about getting your guys ready to go so you're as close to 100% as possible for the playoffs. So anytime you see something like that, you're just like, all right, those are pretty hard minutes that he just played last night.
Just real quick to close the loop. Tatum had the most time on Towns last night, almost 6 minutes defensively. He gave up 11 points, the most, not as many as I thought, 5 out of 6 shooting for Towns.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
It's not a great matchup.
No, I wonder if the Knicks found a couple of things last night.
Right.
Like, I know Tatum stuck the three on Ananobi, but they finally got Ananobi on Tatum, who is a better match than Mikal Bridges, who had no shot on Tatum last night. And I thought the Knicks working those matchups to get more of Towns on Tatum was good, and it still didn't work out. So. Look, I think there was a lot to like about that game. We'll get to Jalen in a moment.
Yeah,
you guys
can
jump in at 617-779-7937. I mean, Porzingis, I can't wait for Terp at Pure Hoops High Noon.
Less than 2 hours.
To peacock his way in and be like, oh, I guess they don't need Porzingis, huh? No. And look, I probably take the Knicks more seriously than most people. And
that's your mistake.
I didn't realize you needed Porzingis to beat the Knicks. I didn't know that counted as that's what you need to do to win a championship, but... I don't know, the crowd who doesn't think they need Porzingis. I mean, you see what he can give them when he's out there.
So I've changed on that. I didn't think they needed Porzingis because they didn't last year, but also the road to the finals was a lot easier than it will be this year, I assume. I mean, you never know. Crazy things happen. Maybe Donovan Mitchell, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander all get hurt, right? That's basically what happened last year. But no, I think certainly against the Thunder, they need Kristaps Porzingis. Against the Cavs, they might need Porzingis. And then if Jaylen Brown can't go, they need Porzingis, right? Because I think part of the formula for us saying you don't need a Porzingis is assuming
Tatum, Brown,
you have everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, right.
If you have everybody else, then okay. But if you don't, now you're talking about no Porzingis and no Brown, no title. That's probably how that sounds.
Yeah, no Porzingis, no Brown. I'd get there for sure. I mean, no Brown, I think no title, to be honest.
Just Brown? Yeah, maybe.
Even with Porzingis. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they barely beat the Knicks last night, for God's sakes.
True.
With him playing half the
game. Do you think they get the Knicks in the second round? So right now it would be the Knicks and the Pistons.
Aren't the Knicks in danger of falling to four? They kept talking about that on the broadcast. Aren't the Pacers right behind them?
Well, they're two games up on the Pacers.
Okay, with three left.
Yeah,
so they're probably the three. Then, yeah, that's probably the second round matchup.
Although,
who do the Knicks get? Detroit?
Yeah, I might take Detroit. That might be a rare first-round upset.
This is all secondhand from my Knicks buddies. Okay. I think the Knicks have been good in that matchup this year.
They dominate them?
Well, I don't know about dominate, but I think they've matched up well with Detroit. Let me fact check.
And maybe Detroit is more of the happy-to-be-in-the-playoffs type of team than the team that can actually advance. But the last time the Celtics played them, and I don't know, Cade Cunningham's having an all-NBA type of season, I could see that.
Yeah, strike that from the record. They're 1-2 against Detroit. Their next game is against Detroit.
Give me the Pistons.
Okay, baby.
Give me the Pistons.
They're a scrappy little team. So
and you can relive a little late 80s Celtics-Pistons rivalry.
Ooh, that's true. That was prominently featured in wonderful episode of Celtic City last night.
I loved it.
I think they might have gotten better every single episode as they've gone.
I think they have. And now that might speak to us because they've gotten more and more modern each time.
Yeah.
So our simple young brains.
I would have taken 4 episodes to get to Larry Bird. That's just me.
Yeah.
But the last 3, I think, of Celtic City have been great. We'll talk about that with Terp at High Noon, Pure Hoops, here on Jones and Keefe. A lot of ways you can get in touch. Honestly, fun win for the Celtics last night. Maybe a second round preview against the Knicks, who used to scare me. I can't even drum up any boogeymen with the Knicks. 617-779-7937, your phone number and your text line. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. So a lot of positive thoughts on the Celtics. Road Warriors, not so great at home, but Road Warriors. Porzingis, great. Tatum, I thought redemption story at the end of the game after he had a couple of brain farts leading up to it. Huge shot to force overtime. You don't have to be afraid of the Knicks. Meanwhile, coaches are getting fired left and right in the NBA. We'll get to that coming up. The Jaylen Brown situation bears watching. And I heard Mego talking about this on the Greg Hill Show today on a Celtics Wednesday. I mean, Jaylen Brown is clearly trying to get to 65 games to make all NBA, which he might not even make anyway. He is clearly playing through something where he's not 100%. He shouldn't be out there. He played 22 minutes last night and gave the Celtics nothing. He wasn't playing down the stretch when the game mattered. So obviously the Celtics don't think he should be out there. I didn't realize this, Keith. They have to get him to 20-plus minutes here in these final couple of games.
I didn't know that. I read that from B-Rob, actually.
The last 2 games, they have to get him to 15 minutes. So, like, he has to play minimum threshold.
Yeah, you can't do the Josh Allen thing at the end of the season for the Bills.
I didn't know that
either.
I thought you could come out, wave his hand,
hey,
come out for the tip-off, and then
leave.
Check out.
No, you got to play.
That's what I thought. And so, clearly, Jaylen shouldn't be out there. He should be resting. The team even agrees with that. They're just getting him out there for the minimum threshold and then checking him out of the game.
He's been asked about it point blank, and he's like, no.
Well, yeah.
But no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, he's been asked about it.
Because he knows it looks bad.
But it is. It is bad.
Joe Mazzulla, I think, told us everything we needed to know after the game. Here's Mazzulla on Jaylen and the 20-plus minutes last night.
I mean, we just got what we needed to get out of him as he continues to push himself and test himself. And, you know, we still got games left. And so it was just, you know, we got what we needed to get, what we needed to see, and just continue to move forward.
Okay.
Look, I care about all...
He got what he needed to get.
I care about all NBAs more than most people do. Like, I think it's a great metric to look back and compare players. It's one of the first things you do. The guys that are multiple all-NBAs, no all-NBAs, all that stuff. I think it's a great metric. But you can't force it. You can't force it. And if you're not healthy enough, it's outrageous. You don't go for it like that when you have a whole long playoff series or another season still awaiting you. You can't, it's embarrassing, really. Like, I don't think they should manipulate it to this degree because he played 22 minutes, I think, in the game.
Yeah, 22.
Didn't play in the fourth quarter, didn't play in overtime.
He was 2-for-8, 0-for-2 from 3.
Yeah, and he was bad in the game, so he wasn't helping you.
He had 3 turnovers, he had 3 personal fouls, so he's not moving well. He's
and if
sloppy,
it's a bone bruise
well.
Or whatever,
yeah.
I don't know, ice it. Sit down, put your foot up in the air, and don't play in these games. You don't need to play in the games. You have the luxury of being locked into where you are seed-wise.
He might play in the games, not get healthy, still not make All-NBA.
Oh, yeah, there's no guarantee he even makes All-NBA.
He might hurt the team, hurt himself, and not make All-NBA all in the process. All those things could happen.
This is really bizarre.
It's a lose-lose-lose, potentially.
Yeah.
And if he makes All-NBA, so what? You've been NBA Finals MVP.
I think it's important.
You've been Eastern Conference Final MVP.
That's right.
You've been an All-Star.
He's only been All-NBA once, I believe.
You've been All-NBA.
But he's
done it.
Well, just enough to get his
Supermax.
Would he even be All-NBA this year? Probably.
Okay.
Well, so we should actually do this. Maybe during one of the breaks I'll do the exercise.
Yeah.
He might be because there's a bunch of guys. Like, I think isn't Luka one of the guys that won't hit 65 games? There's a handful of guys that you might put above him that don't. Even then, it might be tricky. I'll do it. I should have done it before the show. I'll do it during one of the breaks. I'll come up with the guys that should be. He might miss anyway. And then you're putting him out there for 22 minutes. I can't imagine the knees getting healthier while you're running up and down the court playing against the Knicks. So you have 3 more games left. What does he need? 2 more games? Where's he at?
There's 3 games left. He needs 2 more.
He's at 63. So he could hopefully sit tonight, don't play at all tonight, right? They got back-to-back.
And then you get two games against Charlotte where he's got to play 15 minutes each?
Yeah, I guess.
Are you worried about him?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be. Because he didn't.
You want to break out? You want to break out the concern meter again?
Concern meter.
The Devers one is ticked back up. FYI.
Oh yeah,
it was down to a one.
Mm. Nick wants to put him back at third base.
Yeah,
that's a Nick kind of do.
We'll get to
Bregman's
that.
Not great.
No. We're getting to that. We will get to Bregman.
Save that hot. That's the hot take of the week. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, Bregman, real stinky.
Bregman just booting the ball around, anyways, throwing it all over the place.
Well, let's pop Devers up to like a two or a three on the concern meter. Where's your Jaylen Brown concern meter?
Is it 10 the highest?
Yes. Well, I mean, that's how I envision it. I know you have odd scales over there.
Dork scored a 6 for Infinity Stones.
Whatever scale you want.
Some do 5 stars.
The battle meter used to go to 100.
Battle meter went to 100.
Yeah, that's true.
I just wanted to clarify before I answered.
Yeah.
8?
8.
I'm a snowman right now because it hasn't looked great. They're doing this weird. He's talked about the pain and the discomfort that he's in, and yet they're still trotting him out there, and clearly they were just trying to hit the threshold. So if there was no threshold, I guess he doesn't even play. But there is, like, all right, we got his 20 minutes, get him out. Because he's not helping the team either. And, is he going to be – how close – he won't be 100%, but, like, how close to it will he be come playoff time? Now, the other thing they do have kind of, you know, to their advantage, I don't think they're going to play a difficult playoff series until the Cavs. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think that it exists.
I heard Wiggy say this at the end of the show. He's like,
well, he already has them winning the title.
But he's like, should they even play Jaylen against like the Hawks or whoever they get in the first round?
No. I mean, depending on how bad it is,
if
I
he's
guess.
Actually hurt, the answer is no. They can beat the Hawks without Jaylen Brown.
At that point,
you can probably sweep the Hawks without Jaylen Brown.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I think you have the luxury of resting, but then it also looks so much worse. So you're playing him for all NBA, but then you're sitting him in the first round of the playoffs?
All right. Here's what I know. This is what I know. Celtics fans out there, they're locked into the 2 seed. The seeding does not matter. Jaylen Brown might not make all NBA anyway. And guess what? He already has his contract. I think there are incentives he can hit. To make a few extra bucks. Everybody would like to make a few extra bucks, I believe.
Yes, hell yeah.
But he already has his contract. It's not like he's qualifying for the next Supermax or anything like that. He has his contract. So it doesn't help him all that much. He's clearly not right. And what does everybody say all year long? The Celtics will repeat as long as they are what?
Healthy.
Healthy.
Happy.
So the guy's out there.
Well fed.
He's not 100%. And the only thing Celtics fans want to bring up, I'll bring up other things like their shot selection and, you know, sometimes their general attitude at the end of these games. It's just hard to repeat in the NBA, their struggles at home. Like, I'll bring up other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing we hear from Celtics fans, oh, if they're healthy, they win. So you can't possibly want Jaylen out there, right? You can't possibly.
No, not if it's looking like that.
You can't possibly be okay with it, Celtics fans, right?
Yeah.
You tell me. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Again, a lot to get to on the show. Nick wants Rafi Devers back at third base. their defense is poor.
It's a take.
I'll be honest. I didn't think Crochet was great last night.
No, he wasn't. Now, the weather was disgusting.
Yeah, but the guy on the other side was pretty good.
He was nasty. Yeah. That guy's good.
Yeah, the weather was gross.
Easton Lucas?
And yet, Toronto outpitched you and outhit you in both
it's
these
colder
games
in Canada.
By a wide margin. Oh, is that what
they're
it is?
They're used to it.
They're used to it.
They're all used to
they're
it.
Kind of, they're practicing.
They play in a dome.
That's what it is.
They're a good cold weather team. They play in a dome. Yeah.
Well, it's cold there.
Toronto, though,
it's
freezing.
Cold in that dome.
What is it Celsius right now? Real cold.
So we'll get to the Red Sox. We have thoughts on the Patriots as well, plus our draft preview series continues.
I'll give you my All-NBA team, too,
see
if he's on it.
Great. Yeah. Keith is going through that.
Yep.
He'll fine-tune that. Our draft preview series continues with quarterbacks. We'll get to that at 10:45. It's Would You Rather Wednesday at 11:30 and Pure Hoops with Terp at High Noon. Don't miss any of it here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to your phone calls. Keefe's All-NBA team and coaches getting fired around the NBA. Playoff coaches getting fired around the NBA. What does that say about the Celtics? We'll get to it right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Shaw's and Style Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. It's back-to-back losses for the Red Sox. After falling 6-1 to the Toronto Blue Jays at Fenway Park last night, Bo Bichette led the way for the Jays, going 3-for-4 with 3 RBIs. Garrett Crochet got the loss after giving up only 1 earned run in 5 2/3 innings. The Jays and Sox series continues tonight. First pitch is at 6:45. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Lenny Donato right here on 93.7. 7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck will get the start for the Sox against the Jays' Kevin Gausman. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Christian Arcand at 5:45. The Boston Bruins scored a 7-2 win over the Devils in New Jersey last night. David Pastrnak had a goal and 2 assists in the victory to reach the 100-point mark this season. This is Pastrnak's 3rd straight season with 100 points. Bees are back on the ice tomorrow night when the Bruins host the Chicago Blackhawks. And it's 3 wins in a row for the Boston Celtics after defeating the Knicks 119-117 in overtime at Madison Square Garden last night. Kristaps Porzingis led the Celtics with 34 points, followed by Jason Tatum, who scored 32. Sees are right back at it tonight in Orlando to play the Magic. Tip-off from the Kia Center is at 7 o'clock. Want to win free groceries and epic Boston sports and concert prizes? Enter the Shaw's and Style Market Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Just spend $50 or more and check your receipt for your entry code. It's that easy. Official rules at GrandSlamSummerSweeps.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now. WEEI, WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Now, Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Joe, I know you don't like talking about other coaches, but the Mike Malone firing. What goes through your head when you see two coaches fired within a week?
There you go. Coaching.
It's coaching.
It's just coaching, yeah. I mean, I think that's what you sign up knowing that. And, again, you know, I mean, he was where? He was 10 years there?
10.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. You know, so, you know, you hope for stuff like that. You know, you hope for a situation of stability to be somewhere for as long as you have. And you know, when it's your time, it's your time. But, you know, I think you focus more on the fact that he was able to be there for 10 years. Not many coaches get to do that. I think there's only three left now that have done it beyond that. Pop, Spo, and Kerr are the only ones that have gone the longest time. So, you know, you hope for that, but you know that not everybody gets that opportunity.
I was honestly stunned when I heard Mazzulla say that. I'm like, there's no way that's right. Mike Malone's been in Denver for 10 years.
I didn't think it was 10 years either.
Oh, smokes. He's there 10 years.
Yeah. 2 years ago, won a title.
I did not think it was that long. So we'll get into playoff coaches getting fired. First, Taylor Jenkins, and now Mike Malone. These aren't, you know, bum-ass teams firing their coach at the end of the year. These are teams that at one point Memphis was thought of by some, not me, or Keith, but by some as a contender in the West. Denver definitely was looked at that way. So what?
So he's the only. That's the only coach Jokic has ever had.
Correct.
Wow.
What do you think? Russillo had a good tweet. He's like, I guess I'd throw in Baylor Shireman with
for a deal
with Jalen for Jokic. I guess I would do that.
Well, or Jokic got what he wanted.
Yeah.
He got rid of the GM and the head coach there. The funny tweet yesterday was from Kevin O'Connor, who said that the GM Calvin Booth, who also got fired, and Michael Malone hated each other. And then the owner was like, you're both gone.
I read
no, like, I'm not choosing sides. I hate both of you.
Yeah, he's just like, you guys are both out. Yeah. Usually you pick a side.
You
someone
pick one.
Someone wins the power struggle.
Nope.
Cora and Chaim Bloom. Belichick and Brady, like usually somebody wins the power struggle. They're like, you're both out.
You're both done.
You're done, sons.
Wow.
Now, Vincent Goodwell at Yahoo had some reporting on this. It was basically like Calvin Booth was telling him what to do with his rotations, and he's like, F off.
He's like, you get the players.
Yeah.
I'll play them.
Yeah.
And they're like,
That's basically what it came down to. And Malone was squawking about it, and he was squawking back.
He's like,
and
I think you should play Jokic 48 minutes a night and then sort of let him pick the other guys and then kind of go from there. Like, all right, thanks.
So Mike Malone out. Taylor Jenkins out. Two playoff teams firing their coaches. What does that say about the Celtics? We'll get into it. Plus, all your thoughts on Jaylen Brown. All you Celtics fans, tell me, the only thing that will prevent the Celtics from winning a championship, almost like if you're watching Celtic City, or if you believe Doc with the 2010 Celtics, the only thing that can stop them from winning titles is their health. You know, I
gotta get my larynx fixed.
The 80s Celtics broke down.
They really did. In dramatic fashion.
In 2010, no Perk. That was clearly the key to not winning a championship. Perk. So it's all about health. It's all about health. Why are they playing Jaylen Brown then? You should hate that, right, Celtics fans?
All NBA.
617-779-7937. So you said all NBA. Rich Keefe.
Yes.
The whole break.
That's right.
Head down, doing work.
Crunching numbers.
Jaylen Brown.
Watching tape.
He needs to get to 65 games. There are 3 games left. He's played in 63. He has to play in 15 minutes in each of the final 2 against Charlotte. I think it's still 20 if he plays tonight, which he probably won't. There are minimum thresholds he has to reach. He barely reached it last night. He had to get to 20 minutes. He played 22. He's on track to barely get to the 65 games, which would, in theory, qualify him for All-NBA. But we laid this out. It could just be a lose-lose-lose. He plays through the injury. He doesn't get better.
Yeah.
It hurts the team eventually somewhere in a playoff series. And on top of that, he plays in the games and doesn't even make All-NBA. Based on your research, Keith, is Jaylen Brown, with 65 games, meeting all the thresholds, an All-NBA player?
He is not. I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but I put this together. All these guys, I think with the exception of Jalen Brunson, have already hit the threshold, and Brunson is also at 63 games. So if he plays 2 more games, I think Brunson has a leg up on Jaylen Brown. I think the first handful are obvious. Jokic, Gilgeous Alexander, Jason Tatum, Giannis, Cade Cunningham. That's who I'd have in my 5.
I bet not all fans are like, yeah, definitely Cade Cunningham, but
maybe not.
He should make all NBA before Jaylen.
He'll be one of
no
the
doubt.
15, right? Yeah, so really the order doesn't really matter, but you would just say he's above it. The next tier down, I would have Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brunson, your guy, LeBron James.
That's the show's goat.
Steph Curry, and Carl Anthony Towns.
I wonder how much blowback that would get. I don't have any problem with that. I wonder if that would get pushback.
Yeah, I don't think I don't want the guy in the playoffs or anything like that, but when you're talking about the regular season, he's been pretty good.
Okay, so that's 10.
Anthony Edwards, DeMontis Sabonis, Tyrese Halliburton, Alperen Sengun. How do you say his name? The guy with the Rockets has been nasty.
Sengun.
Yeah. The Rockets have been sick, so you got to give them a little bit of credit. And then he'll probably get on over Jaylen Brown. You could argue whether he should, but Kevin Durant. His team sucks.
Is Durant going to get to 65?
Yeah, I think so. Where was I at? Durant's, if he plays the rest of the games. I think he's got 3. He's at 62 right now.
3 games left.
And then, but there's also guys like James Harden, who I know people don't want to hear, but James Harden's had a really good year. And the Clippers are, the 4 seed, I think, in the Western Conference. Trae Young, Evan Mobley. So there's a few other guys, too, that have had really good seasons that might even get it over Jaylen Brown. So it's not a lock by any means.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's not like if Jaylen just plays in 65, he's going to make All-NBA.
Right.
There's a lot of other names that, whether he reaches that threshold or not.
Like Brunson. If Brunson plays 2 games, you're on. Like, you already know Brunson's going to get one of
those
spots.
There's any pushback on Brunson. Some of the other names, like, I'd put Towns on over Jaylen. I bet a lot of people hear Cade Cunningham. They may not know enough about him.
Dude, Cade Cunningham, you got the turnaround Detroit has had.
Cunningham's a lock to me. Give me your third team again. The guys on the third team, like Halliburton, to me is
Shagun.
Yeah, Halliburton's a debate.
Halliburton, Sabonis. Shagun,
the Rockets need representation. Sabonis was hurt a ton, but if he gets to the 65, doesn't matter.
Where is he? He's hurt. Let me find. Will he not qualify? Did I screw that up? Let me see. Oh no, he's already at 67.
Yeah,
he's already passed it.
He missed a big chunk of time, but it might have all been consecutive, and he's back now. So he's already reached the threshold.
Yep. He averages 19, 14, and 6.
Yeah.
Leads the league in rebounds.
We established yesterday, most underrated player in the league.
How many boards did he have against the Celtics that one night?
Like almost 30? Wasn't it like, legitimately, was it like 28 or something like that?
Yeah, it was pretty insane. I guess Halliburton and, you know, whatever. I look at some of the playoff teams and then, you know, who are their best players and things like that also kind of factors in. Like most of the guys, with the exception of Durant, they're all coming from playoff teams.
Yeah, and I think that's how most people view the voting.
Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star.
No, I don't have Barnes.
All-star, maybe.
Yeah. He's not all NBA.
Not all NBA, please.
But, I mean, it'll come down to the votes. And so, like, if you're going for this, if you're pushing for this, you still have to wait and see.
Yeah, so what's even the upside?
Yeah.
Even if you get there, are you going to make the team? And in the meantime, you might hurt the team. And all you out there think the only thing that's going to keep him back is health. He's not healthy. So I don't think that's a good thing. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. By the way, it was 28 rebounds for Sabonis.
28 boards.
Against the Celtics.
He should be first team All-NBA.
At the, I believe that was the night of the company holiday party, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
I believe he was ripping rebounds left and right.
As we were bowling. Bowling up a storm.
While I was trying to break triple digits on the bowling alley.
That's it.
We'll get to our quarterbacks in the draft preview series coming up at 1045. Meanwhile, give me a little more Mazzulla on these coaches getting fired. We always like to hear from Joe Mazzulla. Is it Joe Mazzulla or
serial killer?
Serial killer. Is it Joe Mazzulla or a horror movie villain?
Yeah.
Things like this.
Tough to tell.
I don't know if this one quite qualifies, but it gets right around it.
To me, I wake up every day and I say, you know, I find a balance of, I mean, it's part of what motivates me, but I wake up every day saying this could be my last day. And that's not, you know, it's just, you have to have that type of perspective because it gives you gratitude. It also keeps you, you know, hungry. And so it's just, you have to have a healthy balance of you want this for as long as you can. At the same time, you're very much replaceable because, you know, that's just how it works. And, you know, so every day I remind myself of my own mortality. And I think that's what kind of keeps me in a perspective and, you know, and a gratitude of, you know, the opportunity that you have.
A little overly dramatic.
So he thinks about it every morning. I think about it every night. I wait till you
get into bed,
and then that way I can't sleep for several hours because I'm thinking about the afterlife. But so you get up every day, you're like, I could die today. That's the Joe Mazzulla way I go about it.
Hey, it's a little overly
cherish
dramatic.
These moments,
but
I'm fine with that.
I bet he has good perspective on it because I think he was lucky to survive his first year in Boston.
Yeah.
I think he was lucky to not get fired when they choked against Miami in the Eastern Conference Final.
Well, all these coaches, too, they can't be naive to it. NBA and NHL specifically, but I mean, hell, we saw just with the Patriots this year, one and done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time where the four coaches / managers in the town, I mean, they had long runs, right? Like whether it was Belichick, obviously the longest, but Terry Francona was here for a while, Claude Julien was here for a while, and Doc Rivers were here for a while. And then since then, it's kind of been like a hot potato. Cora obviously had his little hiccup there where he was fired.
Yeah, he was out for a year right back, yeah.
But, I mean, these other guys, they go all over the place. And especially in the NBA, you see guys that win Coach of the Year. Dwayne Casey won Coach of the Year with the Raptors, got fired that season. So the writers voted him as the best coach in the NBA. And Toronto's
the Raptors are like, we can do better.
Yeah. We can do better.
And in fairness, they did.
Yeah. LeBron fires his coach all the time. The guys that just won the title. What's his name? The Budenholzer won the title three
ready?
Years ago. Okay, go ahead.
So the graphic. Four of the last six NBA coaches to win the finals are no longer with their team.
Amazing.
Nick Nurse, who replaced Dwayne Casey, won with the Raptors in 2019. Frank Vogel won, you think it's a fake championship.
He didn't really win, but that's
bubble,
fine.
In the bubble in 2020.
You can pretend.
Mike Budenholzer with the Bucks in 2021, and then Mike Malone in 2023.
There's zero job security in the NBA. The only job security you have is if your best player likes you.
Yeah, it tells you. I mean, it tells you how interchangeable and borderline worthless coaches are in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
they're right on that line.
I think even on that scale, Mazzulla's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they come up short a couple of years in a row, you think the new owner, Chisholm's going to keep them around?
No.
I don't either.
No.
I mean, look at all these other coaches. They all won. They all won just as many titles as Mazzulla won. And no, I don't think he's going to have that job security.
No, I don't.
None of them do.
No, I don't think any of them really do, and it comes down to the best player. Like, we'll see whatever the story is there too. Cause, like, in Denver, we were looking at Memphis, be like, how are you going to fire your coach? And then you have a team above them in the standings. You're like, you're going to fire your coach a week before the playoffs?
Yeah, and even regardless of where they are in the standings, just the way we talk about them, it was like OKC as the biggest threat, and then probably Denver. And they just fired their coach. So what does that say about the Celtics?
And Jokic doesn't feel like the kind of guy, like LeBron, if LeBron was on that team, you're like, no, that's no surprise.
The thing is, all these guys get all these guys fire their coaches.
I don't think Jokic cares.
Well, you don't?
No.
Why'd they do it?
I have no idea.
Because he cares.
Do you think he also was like, get rid of Calvin Booth?
I mean, maybe not that part of it.
I
think he's upset with the organization. And until the organization was worried about him putting up a stink and maybe asking out,
yeah,
I don't think they cared.
Why'd you guys bring in Russell Westbrook?
I think they all fire these guys. So Jokic didn't want to play for him. You know, did Luka get somebody blown out before Kidd? Probably. So, like, I don't know. All these guys fire.
Carlisle, right?
Whenever Mazzulla gets fired, it'll be on Tatum's head. You know, same thing with not Udoka, but Brad before that.
Not Udoka.
The players didn't want Brad. You know, they didn't. Yeah. And so, like, no, I mean, I'm sure Jokic wasn't on board with that.
Well, it's funny, too, and, you know, we just talked about the job security. I don't think the players really wanted Mazzulla, but Brad Stevens stuck by him. And then it obviously ended up working out, and maybe this is one of those situations.
Well, and they got rid of some of the players who didn't want him to.
That's what I'm saying.
Smart.
Which is rare.
Yeah, Grant.
Now, that Smart and Grant aren't at the level to get their coach fired. Tatum and Brown went in there, then it'd be a lot more difficult for Brad Stevens. But
those were the vocal guys, though, about not Or actually, was he under Udoka? Brogdon. I think Brogdon's gotten every coach he's ever played for fired.
Yep. Also bounced around the league quite a bit. But it also, this is something that's happened in the NBA since the start of the NBA. Remember, like, the Celtic City thing? What a unbelievable! Like, they win the title in 81, and all the guys are like, let's get rid of Fitch. And Larry Bird's like, I like Fitch. And even Larry Bird got outvoted. They sided with every other player. This is a story as old as time.
They glossed right over Casey Jones. I wonder if the players wanted him out. They glossed right over that.
He quit.
Yeah, well.
Retired.
He retired.
Yeah.
They glossed right over that. I wonder if Bird maybe wanted that one a little bit more than Bill Fitch.
Although, based on what happens next, Jones got out right at the right time. Casey Jones is smart to get out when he did.
That's true.
However he got out.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Celtics. Fun win for them last night. They're in playoff mode. They're one win away from the most road wins in NBA history, matching that record of the Warriors, who didn't win, by the way, in that season. They set the franchise record for most road wins in a season. Both years, the Celtics had won as many prior to last night. They didn't win a title. They are matched right now with the Bulls for second most road wins in a season. That team did win an NBA championship. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on Jaylen Brown, coaches getting fired left and right in the NBA, and what it says about the Celtics. I'd say most of the league is afraid of the Celtics, is what that would tell me. Outside OKC, most of the league afraid of them. Meanwhile, we'll continue our draft preview series with quarterbacks. Patriots kind of sort of need one now. We'll get to that next.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Who are this year's sleepers, blue chippers, and busts?
With the fourth pick, the New England Patriots select.
Find out with Jones and Keefe's draft preview.
Jones and Keefe, we're looking at every position leading up to the draft. A lot of shows dragging their feet on getting to the draft. Not us. We've been doing this every day for a week plus. This is the last position on offense, Keith.
We ripped through the offense, huh?
Before we shift gears to the defense, beginning tomorrow with cornerbacks.
Very good.
We've talked a lot of Travis Hunter on the show. I'm sure he'll be prominently featured there tomorrow.
No doubt.
But if you're looking for wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, offensive linemen, it's all on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can see it on YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. Quarterbacks. Sneaky big need for the Patriots now that they've dealt away Joe Milton. I think you're more in the camp of
don't draft
QBs.
One.
Okay.
Don't draft one. You just got rid of one that you drafted.
But if you were going to.
Yeah, right. I got some guys.
Let's get to the names here. The top five at the position. I saw Kuiper's mock yesterday. All these guys went in the top 34.
Hmm.
Cam Ward, I think you by now should know a good amount about him. He's the odds-on favorite to go number one overall to Tennessee. Started out in Incarnate World. Where?
Huh?
Started out there, went to Washington State, spent last year at Miami, won the Heisman. I like him a lot. I also like Shedeur Sanders.
He didn't win the Heisman.
I'm sorry, he did not. Hunter did. He was in the mix for the Heisman. I take that back. Yeah. Shedeur Sanders, teammate of the Heisman winner.
That's right. That's Travis Hunter thinking.
At Colorado. I like Shedeur a lot. I think he's going to go in the top 10. Could go as high as 2. We'll see where he winds up going. Again, I think fans are familiar with him. Jackson Dart, picking up a lot of steam. Lane Kiffin offense, which I don't love. More athletic than you'd realize. The guy ran for actually a lot of yards at Ole Miss. Very, very productive. You see him mocked all the time now. In the top 10, certainly in the first round, I would say he never gets past the Rams in mock drafts that I look at 26. Tyler Shuck started at Oregon, went eventually to Louisville. There was another stop in between. He's mocked at 33rd overall in Kuiper's mock yesterday. Jalen Milroe taking visits all over the place in the top 40. The quarterback out of Alabama, the quarterback who was pissed at Bill O'Brien for asking him to switch positions while he was at Alabama. I saw mock yesterday at 34. Who do you like out of these five, Keith?
So, first of all, I do think that you're going to get three guys in the first round. I'm not ruling out even 1, 2, 3. I'm still not. As great as Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are.
I like
not
that take, so I'd stay dug in.
I'm dug in until it happens in 15 days, 9 hours, 8 minutes, and 22 seconds.
Yeah, no reason to switch.
I'm sticking by it. I don't know if the next couple of guys will find their way into the first round yet. However, out of this group, and it might be based on sort of value, if you get Jalen Milroe in the second round, I think that's a really good pick. So if you're a team that needs a quarterback and you get a really good player that you could start somewhere else in the first round, and then you follow that up in the second with Jalen Milroe, I like that. And, you know, I know they both played at Alabama, but if he's in the right kind of offense, can he be like Justin Fields, right? Where Justin Fields came into the league, not the most accurate passer in the world, but you surrounded him with good pieces. And then between that and his own ability to run, ended up being a really good player. So partly because of the value, but also because of the player that he is. Out of that group, I like Jalen Milroe.
So I also like Milroe. And you know me, I like a good mobile quarterback, a guy who can scramble around. Team feet over team accuracy is how I come down. I think Jalen Milroe on day 2 would be a good pick. Even end of the first round. I like him more than Dart. I like him more than
throw. He's built like a brick house.
Thank you. That's our guy.
We know listeners to the show like him as well. I like Milroe more than Dart. I like Milroe more than Shuck and all these other quarterbacks. He'd be 3rd on my own personal list. I will just underscore, I know Ward is now the no-brainer to go number 1. I liked him back when Shedeur was mocked as the top quarterback in the draft. I preferred Ward to Shedeur for a long period of time. So I am high on him. I think he's going to be a successful quarterback at the next level. I'm a believer in Shedeur, but I have more questions about him.
He's tricky because
I like Ward a lot. He's small. He bounced around.
Yeah.
But I thought last year at Miami he was so good. And I think he's more mobile than the stats would indicate, like his actual raw rushing numbers. Like Jackson Dart way outrushed him last year. Mm-hmm. I think he has the potential at the next level of used right to run a lot more. I like Cam Ward, but Milroe would be the guy that I probably like more than most.
And Shedeur Sanders is a tough one for me because out of that 5 that we named, I've seen him play the most over the last 2 years. Colorado was always on TV. Obviously, the whole Deion hype. We got a chance to see Travis Hunter a lot. And again, with all these college guys, it's really hard to look at their stats because everybody puts up good stats. But then when you're playing for your dad and you're just throwing it all the time, like in these fourth quarters, like it's even more kind of ballooned. And he's not fast. Like for a kid who is son of Deion Sanders.
Shedeur's really not mobile.
He's not. And he's really.
And his rushing numbers are wildly misleading because I think they count sacks as negative rushing yards in college.
So that's
why his rushing total is so low, but he's not very mobile. Yeah.
And he's listed at 6'2", 212, which is fine for the modern day quarterback. In fact, most of these guys that we're talking about are 6'2", 220. But Sanders, like, feels kind of smaller than he is. Like, I don't know, maybe it's a smaller build, but that doesn't completely scare me away if you are really, really dynamic. Like, some of the best, my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL aren't really that big anymore.
Who do you like outside the top 5, Keith?
So I kind of like Riley Leonard. Now, I'll be honest, I thought he was going to be a lot better.
Team feet? At Notre Dame, you mean?
At Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Because he was good at Duke. Like, he made Duke football good. And I was like, I even thought he might go pro a year ago. And then he announced he was going to Notre Dame. I'm like, oh, he's going to kick ass. And the team was really good. But, I don't know,
Him running. The team running and on their defense. It wasn't a lot of him throwing.
Right. He threw, I think he was like 21 touchdowns, 8 picks. So you're like, oh, like, they didn't really do a whole lot with him, but I don't know. Like, I think out of that next wave down of guys,
and
he jumps out because there's a lot of other names that to me are kind of like good college quarterbacks, but are going to be just bums in the pros.
I think he's the type of developmental quarterback the Patriots should take. And what I do like about him is he was the team at Duke.
Yeah.
I like guys like that. Guys who had to be their whole collegiate team. He was part of the puzzle at Notre Dame. I think he was still the driving force on offense, but he wasn't as good as I expected. He was the team at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. The guy that I would underscore as the player I probably like the most, if you're going to take a late round shot, developmental guy for the Pats. I'm going to overlook some of the final two games. I liked early season Curtis Rourke, but it was against lesser talent. His brother, played here, I think, when Bill O'Brien was offensive coordinator. You know, Vrabel has a connection to O'Brien, so Vrabel probably hates Milroe, unlike me. And he may be higher on Curtis Rourke, who, again, flashed really well. He was playing through an injury last year. His last couple of games, the game against Ohio State, he was brutal. The playoff game against Notre Dame, he was even worse. But now we're talking about taking a day three flyer. I like Curtis Rourke.
In 2022, real quick, October 15th, 2022, Duke versus North Carolina. North Carolina got a 38-35 win. Drake May threw for three touchdowns and 380 yards. Riley Leonard, just a touchdown and a pick.
Got it.
Not as good, well, although he did rush for 130 yards and a score.
Is Riley Leonard, first of all, you got the Duke-UNC rivalry to consider, and second of all, I mean, is he going to think he's maybe a starter? That could be a problem.
You got to check with all these guys and make sure that they know that they're not going to see the field. Yeah, they shouldn't even want that.
You shouldn't even want to be the backup. No, you're the third string guy.
Get the hell out of here.
Who don't you like, Keith?
Jackson Dart. Part of it is, again, with all these guys that I've not liked so far, I think they're going to get way overdrafted, and he's going to be the guy, Jackson Dart, that 3 years from now, I'd be like, wait, why did he get picked so high? Why do people think that he should get picked so high? It was Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders for a while, and then a few other names kind of sprinkling around out there. He was not really a first-round pick. I mean, the old Miss offense, it is tough to know what's going to translate and what isn't to the NFL level, and now you're seeing him possibly going in the top 10, and you're like, there's no way in hell this isn't going to be even revisionist history. This is the teams are so desperate for a quarterback, they need to find the third guy. You know, last year it happened multiple times. The teams were like, I guess we'll take J.J. McCarthy super high. I guess we'll take Michael Penix this high. You know me, I like Bo Nix, but they all went way too high. This year you're kind of scrambling for it, and Jackson Dart looks like he's going to be the one that benefits the most.
I don't like Tyler Shuck, and I don't want to be inconsistent because Cam Ward bounced around, but at least Cam Ward was really, really, really good.
Yeah.
I think Shuck was fine last year at Louisville. He was never good before that at Texas Tech or Oregon. He spent 6 years in college. He's old. I think people like the frame. They're talking themselves into his 6'5", but he's never been overly productive. Last year, again, was fine. For a guy for his sixth year in college, I don't think it was that great. So, to me, I'd be out on Tyler Shuck. I can't believe he gets mocked sometimes in the late first, early second round. I would go nowhere near him as a player. So, that's the quarterback preview. We've now finished the offense. We'll get to the defense tomorrow, starting with cornerbacks. We'll get to edge players as well on Friday. Stay tuned every day at 10:45. Our draft coverage here on Jones and Keith. We'll get to the Red Sox. Defense letting them down. Didn't love what I saw out of Crochet last night. Cold weather impacting the Red Sox. We can cry about that if you'd like. We'll do that next.